situation. I've been spending time going back and reviewing things like all the five love languages, the love and respect. I've got some audio CDs, and so as I do things around in my car or around the office, I have those audios playing. And I have been reminded again of just how many avenues of love that God shows towards us and that we can show towards each other. I want to focus today on this, on the five love languages, and which are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. If you want to listen to those yourself, you can go to YouTube and type in five, don't write F-I-F-I-V-E, put in the number five, love languages, and the audios are there, and you can listen to them for free. Anybody can. Here's the thoughts that come to my mind as I listen to these, the audios. God made us to be loved, and it is God's will that we feel loved. God, and God is love. I mean, that's just at the core of it. You know, 1 John 4, verse 16 says, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." You and I are made in the likeness of a God who is called love. And when we abide in love, we are abiding in God. Now, God designed love, and no one loves separate and apart from this God who made us for love. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." So all these books written about love, like the five love languages and all these other things, it's really just looking at things that God made from the very beginning. God is the ultimate source of love. He created the love languages. I don't know how many there are. This guy wrote about five. My guess is there's more love languages than that. But he made all the love languages, and God speaks the love languages like no other, because he loves us like nobody else can love us. Now, this verse in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, that Colby read earlier, I picked this verse because I've also been watching on YouTube some a series called The Chosen, and it reenacts some of the lives of the people at the time of Jesus, and this is one of the verses that they used. "The Lord appeared to you from afar, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" That's Jeremiah 31, verse 3. That actually isn't the verse that I was thinking of, but it focuses on this idea that God, his incredible love, it has no beginning, and it'll have no end with us. I want us to focus on God's affirming words. I want us to focus on the first love language, words of affirmation, and just how God fulfills that. You know, there's a connection between our ears and our hearts, and we all need words of love. But according to the theory in the five love languages, there are some of us that need words more than others. We need to hear love words more, maybe, than the people beside us. You know, Mark Twain, the author of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, he made a statement once. He says, "You know, I can go a whole month on a good compliment." Sounds to me like his love language probably was words of affirmation, and when somebody shared a compliment with him, he really took it in. A whole month on a good compliment. The love words of God that were spoken to Israel, they're good for you and I to listen to as well. Because, you know, the Old Testament was the early church's Bible. The early church didn't have our Bible. It was being written at the time. You know, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, those are letters written to churches or to areas. And they weren't written yet when the church started. So when they wanted to reflect and meditate on the words of God, they went to the Old Testament. And this verse in Isaiah 43, verse 1, "Now says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This was the verse that Colby read earlier. I got ahead of myself. Notice that God's love for His people, He calls His people by name. Words are important. God calls us so that we can hear Him. Zephaniah 3:17, this reminds me of a song that I've heard Norm and Susan sing. Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with song." I just love that verse and the song that we sing, that Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord, He quiets us with His love, and then He celebrates over us with a mighty song. We need God's words spoken over us. We need God's words filling our hearts and filling our minds. So, was one of Jesus' love languages affirming words? What do you think? I think that Jesus needed to hear God's love, His Father's love, affirmed through words. At His baptism in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased.'" Isn't that something? The words, the affirming words of the Father spoken over the Son, spoken directly to Him. In Luke, God is speaking directly to His Son Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." So the Son hears these affirming words of His Father spoken over Him. Now, Jesus, though, had to keep hearing these words. He had to keep refreshing the memory. When the pressure was on 40 days later in His temptation, Jesus has to keep going back to His Father's words. You remember the first temptation there in Matthew chapter 4? And the tempter, that's the devil, came to Jesus and said to Him, If you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread. And He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. See, what words had Jesus heard just come out of the Father's mouth? "You are my beloved Son. You're the Son I love. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you," says the Father over Jesus. Affirming words. You know, one of the points in this series of the five love languages, people whose love language isn't, primary love languages isn't affirming words, sometimes they're afraid to say too much to somebody because they're afraid they're going to get a big head, and then that'll make them stop trying to do better. You know, they seized something worth speaking to in this person's life, but they're afraid that if they make too much of it, the guy will just say, "Well, I've arrived." And this Dr. Chapman, in his book, The Five Love Languages, he says the people who are afraid to share loving words with somebody because they're afraid that it'll make them lazy or make them less motivated, you know, it'll give them a big head. He said they don't understand that affirming words to somebody who's that's their primary love language, that just puts them on fire. That just revs their engine. And they're going to do more and more and more. Affirming words doesn't stop that person from doing more. It motivates him to do even more. So, now, God God spoke over his son again. Did you know that? God spoke over his son again at the son's resurrection. The second psalm, verse 7, this is the royal psalm of kingship, where it talks about Jesus was going to be the king. This is what it says in verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now, that was spoken over Jesus at his resurrection. We know that because in Acts chapter 13, verse 33, it says, God fulfilled his promise to our children in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. See, that Jesus spoke over his son at his baptism, but then he spoke over his son at his resurrection. These words of sonship, you are my son. Again, Jesus heard those words from his father. In a sense, the father begot the son through the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is called the Son of God. Mary was told by the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive, and you will give birth to Jesus, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be called the Son of God. So that was one of the reasons Jesus was called the Son of God. Jesus, God reaffirms that at his baptism, but then Jesus is also called the Son of God because of the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power through the resurrection from the dead, through the Spirit of holiness. The resurrection of Jesus was a declaration that this is my true Son. But it's interesting because it says that God spoke over his Son, you are my Son. Now, you and I, what does that have to do with us? You and I have been begotten through the resurrection from the dead that we experienced through baptism. Just as God declared sonship over Jesus, God declares our sonship and forgiveness and adoption through our being crucified with Christ, dying with Jesus, being buried with him, and being raised up with him through baptism. You know, my goal as a teacher of the word, in the minutes before somebody's baptized, my goal is to help them hear this, so that when they come up out of the water, they can hear the voice of God ringing in their heart. You are my son. You are my daughter. I'm so well pleased with what you're doing today. See, that voice of God, it's so important that we hear the affirming words of God. And so I guess as time has gone on, I think I've realized more and more the need to really talk with somebody that's about to get baptized that about what is happening and this view of God, this will of God, this voice of God, that if they listen hard enough, they will hear that voice in their heart. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. I'm birthing you through baptism. This restoration, this renewal, this new life. What Jesus heard physically, I want others to hear spiritually. I want them to hear that in their spirit. And to keep hearing those words of God. You know, just as Jesus called his friend Lazarus out of the tomb, God called you and I out of our deadness into new life. So, Romans chapter 6, that long teaching about baptism, it ends in verse 11, the thought on baptism, it ends, it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, that voice of God telling us that he loves us, that he's brought us back from the dead, because God didn't just love you at your baptism. You know, God loved you before you were made. Did you know that? He chose you before the world was made. That Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. God brought you into existence through birth, and then spoke over you at your baptism for rebirth. He called you out of your death and into new life. And this is the love that we are made to receive and to give from God. How important is it that you are affirmed by the loving words of God? People, it makes or breaks us. It makes. Just as Jesus had to go back to that voice that he heard over his baptism, we have to go back to that voice that we heard speak in our spirit at our baptism. What I tell folks when they're about to be baptized, I say, you're about to die. But this is just the first day that you're going to die. You're going to have to die every day after this. Because Jesus calls you to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. But what is going to motivate us to set that cross up? What is going to motivate us to carry through with that death so that we can have life? It's God's love. The love of God brings us to that point. So, well, my prayer for you and I is that we'll always hear those affirming words of God. God speaks his love languages like nobody else. And his words have power like nobody else. And so let's keep those words ringing in our ears. So, that's for the lesson today, and may God richly bless you. Let's have a prayer, and we'll have our closing song. Thank you, God, for our time together. Thank you, God, that that your blessing flows through each of us into the lives of others. Father, truly, the life and the spirit of Jesus builds up and pours out of us like a well of living water that springs up to eternal life. Father, so many voices in our world, so many voices in our head, so many people trying to get our ear, trying to tell us stuff about ourselves. Father, I pray that we would hear only your voice when it comes to how much you love us, and that that would sink into our hearts, and it would settle all the matters that really matter. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray.